Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Into the Killing. Do you know of an interesting cold case that was eventually solved? We'd love to hear about it. Please go to our website, criminallylisted.com, and click on the Suggest a Case page. We also want to hear about true crime stories for our YouTube channel, Criminally Listed. And if you have stories about the supernatural, we want to hear about them for our channel, Paranormally Listed. For today's case, we're going all the way back to September 1965. From September 8th to the 10th, the following ad ran in the Daily Variety and Hollywood Reporter. Madness, auditions. Folk and roll musicians, singers for acting roles in new TV series. Running parts for four insane boys, age 17 to 21. Once-spirited Ben Frank types, have courage to work, must come down for interview. 437 young men auditioned, and three were chosen. Michael Nesmith, Peter Tork, and Mickey Dolenz. They were joined by British singer and actor Davy Jones. Together, they were the first manufactured boy band in history, the Monkees. The Monkees appeared in their self-titled sitcom for two seasons. Between 1966 and 1970, they released nine albums. The TV show and albums were massive hits, and the Monkees were one of the most successful bands of the 1960s. The band has gone through several reunions and hiatuses in the ensuing 60 years. At the time of this recording, only Mickey Dolenz is alive. On September 8, 1965, Hurricane Betsy made landfall in Florida. It eventually made its way to Louisiana. It was the first tropical cyclone to cause over $1 billion in damage. It's believed that the final cost was about $1.42 billion. At least 75 people were killed in Florida and Louisiana. On September 14, 1965, My Mother the Car debuted on NBC. The sitcom follows an attorney, played by Jerry Van Dyke, whose mother was reincarnated into a car. She communicates with her son through the car's radio. The show was notoriously bad and was canceled after one season. In 2002, TV Guide released a list of the worst TV shows ever. My Mother the Car was second, behind the infamously trashy Jerry Springer Show. On September 6, 1965, the classic musical, The Sound of Music, was number one at the box office. The number one song was the mega hit, Help, by the Beatles. In September 1965, Mary Agnes Kolinsky lived in the unincorporated area of West Keensburg, New Jersey. She had three sisters and five brothers. Her mother died when she was three, and her father died in 1960. After her father died, she lived with three of her brothers and a sister. Mary was a high school senior and planned on graduating in the spring. She was a friendly and caring young woman with lots of friends. One of her friends used a wheelchair. Every morning at school, Mary got her out of her taxi and put her into her chair. She then pushed the young woman to each of her classes. On September 16, 1965, Mary told her brother that she was going to buy a stamp and mail a letter. The letter was for her boyfriend, who was in the Navy. They planned on getting engaged once he finished serving. When she didn't come home, her brother reported her missing. Marianne was last seen at the Keensburg boardwalk. The next afternoon, her nude dead body was found under a guardrail on exit 116 of the Garden State Parkway. She had been raped and beaten in the head with a blunt object. There was a massive police investigation, but no suspects were found. It wasn't long before the case went cold.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
50 long years went by. During that time, there were 9 different presidents. In North America, in 1965, 2 of the 3 biggest movies of the year were about 3 hours long. The Sound of Music, which had a runtime of 2 hours and 54 minutes, was the top movie, and the epic historical war drama, Dr. Zhivago, which had a runtime of 3 hours and 17 minutes, was number 2. The fourth installment in the James Bond series produced by Eon Productions, Thunderball, was number 3. It had a modest runtime of 2 hours and 10 minutes. The biggest songs in 1965 were Bully Bully by Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, I Can't Help Myself, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch by the Four Tops, and I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. The best-selling albums were the soundtrack to The Sound of Music, followed by Rubber Soul by The Beatles, and then Help by The Beatles claimed the number 3 spot. The biggest TV show was the Western Bonanza, followed by the Andy Griffith Show spin-off Gomer Pyle USMC, and then in third was the sitcom Lucy Show, starring the incomparable Lucille Ball. Popular books released in 1965 were Dune by Frank Herbert, Fox and Socks by Dr. Seuss, and the first true crime book, In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. In 1965, cordless phones were available for the first time. The toy game Barrel of Monkeys was released, and Nice and Easy home hair coloring was available for the first time. As for snacks and drinks, you could rehydrate with Gatorade for the first time, eat honeycomb cereal, and SpaghettiOs were available in the grocery store. 50 years later, in 2016, the 3 biggest movies in North America were Finding Dory, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and Captain America, Civil War. Captain America had the longest runtime of the 3 at 2 hours and 28 minutes. 2 Canadian artists had the 3 biggest songs in 2016. The top 2 songs were Love Yourself and Sorry by Justin Bieber, and number 3 was One Dance by Drake featuring Wizkid and Kyla. 2 Canadians also had 2 of the 3 biggest selling albums of 2016. Drake's Views was number 1, and The Weeknd's Starboy was number 3. Number 2 was Stony by Post Malone. In 2016, figuring out the most popular TV shows was complicated because streaming skewed things. According to traditional television ratings, The Big Bang Theory, NCIS, and Sunday Night Football were the most popular shows. But if accounting for streaming, the top 3 shows were Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, and Pretty Little Liars. Some popular books released in 2016 were It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover, Dark Matter by Blake Crouch, and Beartown by Frederick Bachman. In 2016, Apple's AirPods, Google Nest, and the Oculus Rift were all released. As for things you could eat, Burger King released the Whopperito, which contained most of the traditional ingredients of a Whopper in a tortilla, but instead of ketchup, mayo, mustard, there was queso cheese sauce. If you're looking for something alcoholic, Desperados, a tequila-flavored pale lager beer, was available. Also in 2016, McDonald's started selling breakfast items all day. In February 2016, the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office announced that they had solved the murder of Mary Agnes Kalinske. Evidence from her crime scene had been saved for the past half century. Thanks to unspecified DNA technology that helped amplify DNA, they were able to create a profile. The DNA belonged to a man named Robert Zarinsky. Zarinsky was well known to law enforcement in New Jersey. Robert Zarinsky was born in Linden, New Jersey in 1940. His father was a successful produce wholesaler. His mother was domineering and doted on her only son. She thought he could do no wrong. Zarinsky had a sister, and he was abusive to her, much to his mother's approval. Zarinsky was described as intelligent but troubled. He also had a rich fantasy life. When he was 22, he felt jilted by a girl he had affections for. Around the same time, he started calling himself Lieutenant Schaefer, Commandant of the North New Jersey Demolition Squads of the American Republican Army. He wanted to wage a campaign of terror that involved destroying several New Jersey landmarks. He thought that the Red Chinese Army and the New Jersey National Guard would back him up. Then, when the state's government was overthrown, he would be installed as leader. Finally, the girl he loved would marry him. Instead, Sarinsky started lashing out at the young woman and her family. He got into fights with her brother. He also burned down her family's garage. He then started lashing out at society. There were 5 lumberyard fires in the cities of Linden, Union, and Elizabeth, New Jersey. Also, over 50 cars in those cities were set on fire. Lieutenant Schaefer would call the police and take credit for the fires. Two people told the police that Lieutenant Schaefer was really Sarinsky. Sarinsky learned that the police were investigating him and he decided to take action against them. For example, he spread upholstery tacks on the driveway of the police station in the hopes of flattening their vehicle's tires. He also somehow learned which officers were investigating him. He then staked out the police headquarters and stalked the officers. In March 1962, over 4 hours with a crowbar, he toppled 1,500 headstones in the Rosedale Cemetery in Linden. He caused over $100,000 in damage. He called the police and took credit for the vandalism. 22-year-old Robert Sarinsky was arrested a week later. He confessed to being behind the arson fires and the vandalism. He was sent to a psychiatric hospital where he spent 13 months. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia. He was then released to the custody of his parents. Sarinsky got married and his wife gave birth to a son. The boy died in 1968 at the age of 2 from pneumonia.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Atlantic Heights, New Jersey is about 30 minutes from Linden. In August 1969, it was home to 18-year-old Rosemary Calandreo. She was a high school senior. Her father worked for a contracting firm. She had 3 brothers. On August 25th, 1969, Rosemary went to the store to get a carton of milk for her mother. She should have returned home after a few minutes, but she never made it home. The police questioned people in the neighborhood. 4 boys who knew Rosemary saw her in a beat-up 1961 white Ford Galaxy convertible that was being driven by a man in his 20s. The boy's account was printed in the newspaper. Shortly afterward, a woman in Middletown Township, New Jersey, contacted the police. She said she had a 14-year-old daughter, and a man in a white Ford Galaxy had approached her daughter and her friend on 3 occasions over the past several weeks. One time, he offered them wine. One of the girls wrote down his license plate. It was registered to Robert Sarinsky's father. When the police went to arrest Robert Sarinsky for the delinquency of a minor, they found him washing the car's interior and trunk. He was arrested and his car was impounded. He was released shortly afterward on bail, but then he was arrested again. Earlier on the day Rosemary went missing, Sarinsky had tried to entice a 14-year-old girl to get into his car in Atlantic Heights. Once again, he was released on bail. Sarinsky's 1961 Ford Galaxy was searched. One thing that the police noticed was that there were no handles on the inside of the passenger doors. Sarinsky had taken them off and hid them under the seat. The police surmised that once he got a girl into his car, this would ensure she couldn't escape. In the car, the police found some hair clips that may belong to Rosemary and a pair of women's underwear. The underwear was similar to pairs of underwear Rosemary wore, and Rosemary's mother said they belonged to her daughter. The police also found a ball-peen hammer in the car. It had some blood and hair on it. Zerinsky was placed in a police lineup. The four boys who saw Rosemary in the Ford Galaxy identified him as the driver. The police believed that Zerinsky kidnapped and murdered Rosemary, but they had a big problem. Rosemary's body had not been found, so they couldn't prove that she had been murdered. So he wasn't charged with her murder. Zerinsky went to trial for trying to lure the girls into his car and influencing minors in June 1970. He was found guilty and he was sentenced to 5 to 7 years in prison. But he appealed and the conviction was overturned. He didn't go to trial to face the charges again. The FBI examined the bloody hammer found in the car. They did not believe that the hair belonged to Rosemary. Instead, they thought it belonged to another girl who was murdered in New Jersey 4 months before Rosemary disappeared. 17-year-old Linda Balabanow lived in Union, New Jersey. She was artistic and loved to draw and write poetry. She worked her shift on March 26, 1969 at a drugstore in Roselle, New Jersey, but she never made it home. Her mother reported her missing. She was initially classified as a runaway, but her family didn't believe that. Nevertheless, the police didn't put much effort into searching for her. A month later, on April 27, 1969, Linda's body was found floating in the Raritan River in Woodbridge Township, New Jersey. She was naked from the waist down. Her dress had been wrapped around her head, and a tire chain and electrical cord were wrapped around her neck. Her wrists had been bound with rope. Her skull had been fractured. It was determined she had been beaten to death with a blunt object, like a hammer. But because this was the late 1960s and early 1970s, forensic science could not determine for sure if the hammer found in Zerinsky's car was the murder weapon. So he was never charged with Linda's murder. The police also thought that Zerinsky committed a double murder in 1974. On December 14, 1974, 15-year-old Joanne Delrado and 14-year-old Doreen Carlucci attended a dance at a Catholic church in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Afterward, they went for ice cream at a dairy store. Then, they went missing. 2 weeks later, their bodies were found beside a road about 30 miles from their last seen in Manalapan Township, New Jersey. Joanne was nude from the waist down, and Doreen was almost completely naked. Both had been beaten and strangled to death with a garrote that was made from an electrical cord. It did not appear that either girl was raped. However, not everyone is convinced that Robert Zerinsky killed Doreen and Joanne. Two other serial killers are also suspects. One is Richard Cottingham, aka the Torso Killer. Between 1967 and 1980, he murdered at least 18 women in New York and New Jersey. The other is Robert Reldon, aka the Charmer. It's believed that Reldon killed at least 6 young women in New Jersey in 1974 and 1975. Twice, he abducted and murdered pairs of girls. No one has ever been charged with the murders of Doreen and Joanne. In the spring of 1975, the district attorney decided to pursue charges against Zerinsky for the murder of Rosemary Calendaro. They got a search warrant for Zerinsky's house. Inside, they found a radio with a serial number scratched off. It was determined that the radio belonged to 17-year-old Linda Babelnow. But the district attorney still didn't think that they had enough evidence to charge Zerinsky with Linda's murder. Robert Zerinsky went to trial for Rosemary's murder in April 1975, 6 years after she disappeared. The prosecution's case was entirely circumstantial. Rosemary's body had never been found, so it was plausible that she wasn't even dead. Three former cellmates of Zerinsky's testified They brag that Rosemary's body would never be found because he had weighed it down with cinder blocks and dumped it in the river. Two of the young women Zerinsky tried to lure into his car also testified. The boys who saw Rosemary in the Ford Galaxy testified that Zerinsky was driving the car. The strongest physical evidence was the hair clip and underwear that was found in his car. Rosemary's mother said that they belonged to Rosemary. But Zerinsky's wife testified, and she said it was her underwear. She also said that on the night Rosemary went missing, she was with her husband at the home they shared with his parents. Zerinsky's parents and other family members testified that Zerinsky was home on the night of the murder. The trial lasted a little more than 2 weeks. Then the jury deliberated for nearly 6 hours. He was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison with a chance of parole. Other accounts say he was sentenced to 98 years in prison. It was the first time in New Jersey that someone was convicted of murder without a body. 13 years later, in 1988, Zerinsky was up for parole. He told the parole board that he had accidentally killed Rosemary. He also promised to take the authorities to Rosemary's body. But it was a wild goose chase, and nothing of interest was found. Rosemary Calendaro's remains have never been found. In 1989, Zerinsky's father died. In 1994, his wife filed for divorce. Then in 1995, his mother died. In her will, his mother left him the family's house in Linden and all her mutual funds. It's believed that the mutual funds were worth about $120,000. Zerinsky's only sibling, Judith Sapsa, only got $30,000. Zerinsky chose not to sell the house. Instead, he locked it up and no one lived in it. People in Linden called it the Haunted House or the Monster House. In December 1998, Zerinsky thought it was odd that he didn't get a statement from the mutual fund company. They were always forwarded to him by his niece. In March 1999, he called the mutual fund company to find out what was happening. He found out that $112,000 was missing from the account. Zerinsky reported the theft to the U.S. Postal Service. He said he was the victim of identity theft. They investigated it and learned that Zerinsky's sister, Judith, and her husband, Pierce Apsa, had embezzled the money. The couple figured that since Zerinsky was serving a life sentence and had been denied parole several times, he probably would not get a chance to enjoy the money. So Peter posed as Zerinsky and withdrew the money. Despite Zerinsky being a convicted killer, this was still illegal. When Judith realized how much trouble she was in, she decided to play her only card. She had information about an unsolved murder. She would exchange the information for a lesser sentence. The police decided to hear her out. In 1958, Charles Baranski was a 30-year-old patrolman in Rahway, New Jersey. He had 5 children, and the 6th was on its way. He was responding to reports of a robbery at the Miller Pontiac/Cadillac dealership in Rahway. When he arrived, he got into a gunfight with the 2 robbers. He managed to shoot both robbers, but he was shot 4 times himself. The burglars were able to get away. Bronowski was rushed to the hospital, but the 30-year-old father died on the way. Judith told the police that the 2 burglars were her brother and her cousin Theodore Schiffer. Judith said she was at home when her brother and Schiffer returned home after the robbery. Schiffer had been shot in the chest and Zerinsky had been shot in the hip. Judith said that the cops shot Schiffer and this made her brother angry, so he shot the police officer. Zerinsky's mother took the bullets out of her son and nephew and stitched up the wounds. The police learned that Theodore Schiffer was alive and living in Florida. He was a retired carpet installer. The police interviewed Schiffer, who denied being involved in the deadly robbery. Then they got a court order to get his fingerprints. The fingerprints of one of the robbers was found on a can of antifreeze. They had compared it to the fingerprints of over 700 people, but never found a match. When they compared Schiffer's fingerprints to the robber's fingerprints, it was a match. Then his body was examined, and they found a scar that looked like a bullet wound on his chest. In August 1999, 61-year-old Theodore Schiffer was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Months later, in December, 58-year-old Robert Zerinsky was also charged with murder. The police searched Zerinsky's house. They found some jewelry that Judith didn't recognize. Supposedly, one earring belonged to the victim of an unsolved murder. On September 20, 1973, 19-year-old Ann Logan finished her shift at a store in Garwood, New Jersey at 11:15 p.m. The university student lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Tragically, she never made it home. The next morning, her body was found in a wooded area of Roselle, New Jersey. She had been strangled with the straps from her shoulder bag and beaten in the face with a rock. The police did not think that the earring was enough to charge Zerinsky with her murder. No arrests were ever made in the case. Theodore Schiffer agreed to cooperate with the police and he would testify against his cousin. In exchange, he would get a sentence of 7 years of prison and have to serve at least 3 years. For stealing Zerinsky's money, his brother-in-law was sentenced to 5 years in prison. All the charges against his sister were dropped. Robert Zerinsky went to trial for the murder of Charles Bronowski in May 2004, 46 years after it was committed. The biggest problem for the prosecution was that there was no physical evidence. For example, the can of antifreeze with the fingerprints had gone missing. The case relied on the testimony of Zerinsky's cousin and sister. The only physical evidence was the scar on Shiver's chest and a scar on Zerinsky's hip. The trial lasted a week. Then the jury deliberated for over 9 hours. They acquitted Zerinsky on all charges. Zerinsky went back to prison. Schiffer served 3 years and he was released in October 2002. In May 2008, there was yet another shocking twist in the case of Robert Zerinsky. He was charged with the murder of another young woman. In the autumn of 1968, 13-year-old Jane Durea lived in East Keensburg, New Jersey. She moved there to live with her sister and brother-in-law after her mother died in August 1968. Her father had died years earlier. On November 5, 1968, she went to one of her sister's homes to pick up some school books. Then she set off to the home where she lived with her other sister, but she never made it home. Her family reported her missing that night. The next morning, her family went looking for her. Her brother-in-law found her body in some tall grass beside a railroad track. She had been raped and strangled to death. No arrests were made, and it wasn't long before the case went cold. DNA testing was done on the evidence in 2008 and was matched to Robert Zerinsky. 40 years after the murder of Jane Durea, Zerinsky was charged with first-degree murder. However, Zerinsky never went to trial for the crime. He died in prison on November 28, 2008, at the age of 68. Then 8 years later, his DNA was linked to the murder of Mary Agnes Klinsky, which is where we started our episode. It is unknown how many people Robert Zerinsky killed. His sister thought he had killed at least 10 people. Zerinsky himself bragged that his body count was 10. What is known is that he was tried and acquitted for the 1958 murder of 30-year-old police officer Charles Bronowski. His DNA linked him to the 1965 murder of 18-year-old Mary Agnes Klinsky. His DNA also connected him to the murder of 13-year-old Jane Durea, which happened in 1968. He is the prime suspect in the 1969 murder of 16-year-old Linda Babalanow. A radio belonging to her was found in his home, and a hammer with blood and hair was found in his car. The FBI believed the hairs belonged to Linda, who was beaten to death with a blunt object. Zerinsky was convicted of the 1969 murder of 17-year-old Rosemary Caladero in 1975. It was the only murder he was ever convicted of. An earring that supposedly belonged to 19-year-old Ann Logan, who was murdered in 1973, was found in his house. Finally, he's a suspect in the murders of 14-year-old Darlene Carlucci and 15-year-old Joanne DeLardio. However, two other serial killers are also suspects in that case. But those are 8 possible victims, so Zerinsky may have at least 2 more victims. With advancement in DNA technology, the authorities may find more victims in the future. But there's also a good possibility they will never understand the true level of carnage Robert Zerinsky unleashed during his time here on Earth. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Like we said in the opening, if you have a case you want to suggest for Into the Killing, Criminally Listed, or Paranormally Listed, please visit our website, criminallylisted.com. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you again for listening. Please take care of yourself and stay safe.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at tracemineral.com.